Hi everyone, welcome to this week's episode of Money Making Mothers, where I'm joined by Nadia from the DeMello Lounge. She is the owner and runner of the business and is also raising two boys. So thank you very much for joining me today. Love you, all right?
Most welcome. Yes, I'm good, thank you. Just happy to be here.
Thank you for taking time out of a very hectic schedule, I'm sure, to speak with me. So start by telling me, please, because I don't know how it started. So how did the business begin?
It all began 7 years ago. I'd always worked for myself constantly. And when you just want something bigger and better. So with the help of family, we started DeMello 7 years ago. It started originally out as an artisan coffee and dessert place. And over time, we just did more market research and listened to the customers. And now we do mostly breakfast now, actually. We do South Asian breakfast, halal English, because there's no one doing halal English breakfast and there's a big market for that. So now we've just turned into like a bit of a hipster Instagram cafe. It's just developed into that and it's amazing. It's just covered in flowers and it's a little happy place. And I just wanted something for myself and something as a legacy for my boys, really. So, and it's just strength to strength.
So what is it that like inspired you mainly to do that type of business? Like, why that?
Originally, my background is in biology and science and skincare. And it's a bit of a change going into food catering. Yeah. But I'd always had a passion for baking and customer service. It just came secondhand. My family's always been into business. And I thought, let me just try. There wasn't any nice artisan coffee houses around here at that time. And we just took the plunge and we opened up. And the cake started flying out. We had our own artisan coffee, our own suppliers from El Salvador, Brazil, India, everywhere. And
really?
Yeah, it was amazing because apart from the larger chains, there wasn't actually much of a market here for artisan houses, coffee houses. So when we originally opened, we had a really, really good start.
When you say we, who was we?
That my family. So my dad invested quite a lot, and my ex at the time as well. He helped with the coffee side. And we had two little boys. My youngest was... he was 4 months when we opened DeMello at that time. Yeah, he was born in February and we opened just at the start of July. So he was just 4 or 5 months. And it was hard at the time. He had surgery at 3 months old. So we had all that to overcome along with the business planning. But we managed it all. And it's been good. And the business has kind of grew along with the children.
Yeah.
So at that time, I lived just across the road from the shop. And constantly running back and forth from home, taking care of the kids and coming back and sorting the shop out. So it was all systems go, but it's eventually paid off. Obviously, everything takes time. And
so what happened? How come your little boy had to have a surgery?
He was born with a floppy larynx. Even though he was born nearly 10 pounds, he would stop breathing. He would literally just make sounds and he would stop breathing. And the doctors at the time wouldn't listen to me. They said he's born cesarean. So cesarean children make that sound, and they kept asking me, have you got any older children? It's just making me feel more paranoid. Yeah. I said, no, I've got an elder child born by cesarean. He never made these sounds. He made the normal sounds he's supposed to make. And his fingernails were blue, his lips were blue, and he got blue lighted to hospital so many times. He would just stop breathing, just stop breathing, and they wouldn't listen. So I literally, even though I had a cesarean, I sat cross-legged in the hospital. I said, I'm not moving until you put a camera down his throat. Even if it is my paranoia, just please do something. I can't deal. All night I'm awake, just licking my finger and putting it under his nose, see if he's still alive. And then they did, it was an ENT surgeon at the time. He was good, bless him. He put the camera down the throat and he apologized afterwards. His throat was overgrown by 2 inches. So he didn't have any cartilage. So it would just flop. Like it would just close the pipe and flop over. So they got him in emergency surgery. So I wasn't being paranoid. And as soon as he had the surgery, honestly, his colour just came back and he's been absolutely fine. So it's mother's instincts. It was just having to deal with that.
You're glad you sat on your ass and crossed your legs.
No, I just had like my own little mini protest. I was like, I'm not moving. Because I can't, every few days he was getting blue lit to the hospital.
Oh my God, as if they wouldn't listen.
They wouldn't. The amount of times I had to smack that child in the back just to get his breath back and hold his arms up, and they originally diagnosed him with, they said his throat's very small and his lower jaw is quite set quite back, and he'll grow into it, which he has now. He's 7 and he's flourishing, not a problem at all. But he needed that surgery when he was born, and it took 3 months of me crying and screaming and trying to bring his breath back constantly to get him in.
Teddy had that, you know, you just brought it back, totally forgot, but my middle boy, he used to make a funny noise, and he was under someone for a while, and he had a floppy larynx, but it wasn't that bad. It just strengthened over time. Like, it was nowhere near that level, like, at all.
His were just claws.
Yeah.
And you just know as a mother that something isn't right. And he couldn't latch on. I was breastfeeding him, and he just wouldn't latch on. My eldest, I breastfed for 7 months, and he just couldn't because of his jaw. He couldn't latch on, and he was getting really bad reflux because his tongue was quite set quite back. And I just thought, something isn't right. This isn't normal.
Oh, it's awful as well, isn't it? Because you think, like, they can't tell you. You know, Mama can't breathe.
I know. And he would just, his eyes would just go pop out of his head, literally. And he would just go purple and blue. And that's it.
Being paranoid?
Yeah. There was this patronising question. Like, do you have any children older than him? Have they ever made any sounds? I know what sound a child makes. This is not it. This is not it.
Oh, bless God. If you had to deal with that as well as opening, like, sorting out the business, I bet your head was up your ass.
It really was. So we had meetings with suppliers, and we were trying to find the good coffees, and we were trying to find all the gelato, and we were trying to find everything, and at the same time trying to feed a baby and trying to keep a baby alive.
Literally. Oh, bless you. So when you first, like, started, when you opened, did you work in the shop? Like, do you still work in the shop now, or, like, as your role?
I still work in the shop. You have to. There's no way you can own a business, something that has a front of house, and not be the face. If I'm not here, the customers ask, where's Nadia? Where is she? No, but we've still got some regulars. I won't let anyone else make. I mean, most of my staff are advanced baristas now, just like me. They're one of the very few in the country. But my customers will still say, where's Nadia? Can she not make it? I'm like, bro. Take it as a compliment, but, you know, my staff's good.
So is it like, how would you juggle them with the kids? Like, how have you done that? Especially when you started with them, when you
moved to Stockton now. I moved to Stockton 3 years ago, so my commute's a bit longer as well. So I literally wake up about 6:40 in the morning, 6:45. I'll get a shower, I'll put my face on, sort myself out, and then I'll get the kids up, get them all ready for school, because I don't like rushing them on the morning, even though they turn into turtles and snails on the morning, which is, please.
Oh, yeah, no.
It turns into Freddie Mercury with a toothbrush in his hand in the mirror every morning. I'm like, no, bro, it's not the time. Let's go.
We're on a schedule, quick.
I know, like, move, move. I'm like an army major on the morning. It's literally move, move, move. So we get them all ready, and we're out the door for about 8:20. Like, I think one of them's still having a banana or something. But yeah.
Literally me this morning. Alba was still eating a toast in the car. I was like, quick, in the car, taking some wipes and be like, just eat your food.
Sometimes I'm so loud. I was like, even the neighbours have brushed their teeth. They've heard me shout so much, and I go, you haven't. We get to school on time. We drop them off. Someone's still forgotten a water bottle or a PE kit. So I go back and pick it up. And then I'll come straight to Middlesbrough. My staff's opened the shop at 8:30 already. And I'll land here about 8:45 or 9:10. And then the customers will start coming in. And then I leave here again at 2:30. And I have to get over to Heartburn to pick them up for 3:15.
How are they going to school, Heartburn?
Yeah. So I commute all the way from Middlesbrough to Heartburn every day, 2 times a day.
I'm back,
yeah. Because when me and the dad split up in 2018, I moved them from Middlesbrough to Stockton. So I don't want to move the schools again. Yeah. And they're really happy where they are. So it's just an extra commute for me. And they just prefer the school a lot, and they flourish in there.
From, like, Middlesbrough to Stockton?
I originally lived in Stockton before I got married to the dad. And when we split up in 2018, I went back to my mum and dad's house.
Did you?
So we lived there for 2.5 years with them. And I've just recently got married now in August last year.
Oh, so congratulations.
Thank you. So my new husband and I, we've got our own place now, just round the corner from the school. So just so we didn't have
them again.
Yeah.
So how come you split from your first husband?
Oh, just a normal cliche. He cheated. So we did everything. I did everything.
Normal cliche. I can't handle that.
What else do they do? What else do they do? So yeah, with my cousin's wife of all people. So it was just something I couldn't forgive.
Oh my God. It was,
you know, we were perfectly happy for 10 years. I opened the business with my money, my dad's money. We opened a gelato manufacturing unit as well. We were supplying gelato to restaurants, hotels around the area. And we were absolutely flourishing. And his plan was to sell the business, take the money and run off with her. But I found out.
Never.
Honestly, it's like EastEnders. I found out.
Bastard.
Yeah, he left me with a lot of debt, about £130,000 debt, which I've managed to pay off in these 3 years now since I've left him, because I didn't want to declare bankruptcy. So,
oh my God, what, so did he leave with her?
No, she dumped him same day as I did.
Oh my God.
She only wanted fun. She didn't want an affair. So yeah. So what, he just turned around. Yeah, we were perfectly happy and everything. And he just turned around to me and he goes, do you know what, babe? I don't love you anymore. Take the kids and leave. I wasted 10 years of my life on you. Just like that.
What, just random?
Just random. I didn't even know he was having an affair. 4 years that they were together. I didn't know.
Oh, wow.
So there's me goody two shoes, like blah, 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 going around doing, like working from, we used to open the shop at 7:30 that time. No, 7:30, beg your pardon, till 11 at night. So I was doing all the work. And then we'd go into the gelato manufacturing side of it, into the factory, work till 1-2 in the morning, and then get back up again for the kids. So I was doing that constantly just to make like a success of it so we can start a life together. And so he did that. So I thought, do you know what? No, he apologized everything, saying, you know, please take me back. I'm sorry, it was a mistake, but you just can't. I couldn't. I said,
oh, God, how did that make you feel?
At that time, am I allowed to swear?
Yeah, of course you are, swallowed.
Shit, basically, that's how it made me feel. It's like the ground's gone from beneath your feet. Because everything you've created, everything you've held close and believed, it's just shattered. It's gone. This whole life that you've worked so hard for, it's gone.
Yeah.
And but I'm so blessed to have the parents and the family that I do. You know, my dad's just got this dialogue that I just love. It's just, so what? You know, I had days where I just didn't want to get out of bed. You know, and my family, they were just like, do you know what? It happens. Shit happens. You're stronger than that, you're better than that. And they never once wanted me to go back because they just saw everyone's true colours and they saw how run down I was. So I left the business at that point as well. I left everything. Yeah, and I went back to Stockton and I got a job back in pharmacy again because that's what I was doing before I came to Middlesbrough and I started working. But we started getting messages and phone calls from customers and the neighbouring businesses saying, DeMello's in a really bad state right now. It's run down, like the rubbish is piled high in the back and the shop's a mess. Please come back.
He
was running it, yeah. Well, he wasn't running it. He was just sat here, not cleaning it, not paying the suppliers, nothing, just running it into the ground. That's what he was doing. And at that point, my dad had put in about £80,000. The business was on my name and his name, my ex's name. So he'd run it into the ground, basically. And I said to my dad, I go, you've invested too much in there. You're not going to get a penny back. And my dad sent a message to him through someone and said, if he can't run it, if he's not man enough to run it, just tell me and my daughter will come in and do it herself. And he goes, yeah, I can't run it. But he just wanted to get out of it because none of his money was invested. And I didn't know how much debt he'd built up, how many loans and leases and stuff he took out. I didn't know. So he left. I came in. And honestly, Carla, I just sat on the sofa in here and I cried because I knew how hard we'd worked in there.
Yeah, like what you'd built up.
Yeah, and it was just, you couldn't even see inside. The windows were that dirty. You couldn't see inside. And like we moved the fridges and freeze. It was just pitted. It was disgusting. And so my dad made a few angry phone calls and said, you know, what the fuck? What have you done to the place? No answers, no nothing. So we didn't open that day. We closed down. So my dad and I went on a mad stock run because there was nothing in the shop. There was nothing. And we spent about £3,000 that day because we had to, because the suppliers wouldn't give us anything because he'd run up that many bills as well. So my dad paid cash to everyone. We got everything we needed. And my mum, bless her heart, she cleaned the entire shop. Oh, I said, please don't do it. I'll do it. She goes, no. From floor to ceiling, she scrubbed that shop. And we opened 6 o'clock on the evening. And we haven't looked back. It's just been amazing. And then in 2019, March, do you know when you still have the memories?
Yeah.
Because we obviously opened it together, we still had the memories in here. And I was just going through a really bad phase where I was just getting depressed. And I said to my dad, I go, I feel like there's a dark cloud on me every time I walk into that shop.
Yeah.
I need to do something. And my dad's problem is he never says no to me. He goes, what do you need? What do you want to do? I was like, well, I've seen all these cafes that are launching now with the flowers and everything. And I go, there's nothing like that in Middlesbrough, you know, like a female orientated, nice, happy place to relax. And he goes, okay. And I was like, I already had my business plan in mind before I went to my dad.
Yeah.
All these flower walls, I've ordered this, I've done this, I've done that. I said, I just need a handyman to come in and just do it all for me. So bless him, he spent 3 days and nights along with my cousin and all the other family members. And we closed for 3 days and we just redid the entire shop, new menu, and we relaunched. And it's just been amazing. It's been amazing. And the look on the children's face when they walk in and see it, it's just priceless. They're so proud of it.
Oh, that's so cute.
They're just so proud of it.
I can't believe, like, Jesus, I'm not being funny, there's plenty of people who just threw the towel in there, like, especially when, I mean, it's bad enough when someone you love does that to you, but when someone who you've built a business up with as well, and it's for your children, you know, it's not just if there was you and him, there was children involved, like, to do that, and then for you to get back up and do it again, like, that's unbelievable, like, well done.
I didn't give myself the choice of not doing it. I just thought, you know what, I have to do it, and I have to do it bigger and better, because he accused me of emasculating him, and I was like, if you had any balls in the first place, you know what, I wouldn't have to work so hard.
If you'd have kept your balls in your pants, I wouldn't have been emasculating you.
No, it was always me running around in the background doing everything, but it was his face plastered everywhere. He used to say to me, oh, I'm just better off in front of the camera. That's what he used to say.
Oh,
and I used to believe him, like, stupid me, like, oh, yeah, that's fine, yeah.
You don't even need to meet him to know that you deserve better than that. Like, bloody hell.
And honestly, you know, there's a silver lining to every cloud. And I didn't realise how many people loved me and how much worth I actually had until he did that. The amount of love and support that surrounded me afterwards, I had no choice but to succeed. It was literally, I'm going to do it. And everyone's going to help me. I can't take the credit for all this because it wasn't just me.
Yeah, but how did you heal? Like, when did you find time to heal? Or, like, was the, like, rebuilding a bit like your therapy?
It was. That was the gym at that time. Trust me, I was killing the gym.
Heartbreak diet is the only diet you ever
succeeded. Honestly, I lost so much weight. I looked wicked. And I think I can't heal by taking time out and having... I had therapy, I had counselling after I'd done the business.
Yeah.
But I have to be upwards and onwards. That's the kind of person I am. And I was very conscious of the children watching my every step. Because, I don't know, in our society, it's so ingrained into children that girls are weaker and boys are stronger. In regards to anything, like my little one, my seven-year-old, Zain Ali, he's got this mentality that girls are slower, boys have to be faster, boys have to win the race. And girls just, you know, they're just there to look pretty. And then I keep trying to prove that point wrong.
Yeah.
So I've got...
It's hard, because, you know, it's not... Yeah. The problem is, it's like, I'm sure you are doing a damn good job of showing that, but it's everybody else in society as well that, you know...
It is, especially with boys, you have to be conscious that you're not just raising your own sons, you're raising someone's father, you're raising someone's brother, you're raising someone's husband.
Yeah.
And... It's a big responsibility. I think it's a bigger responsibility than raising girls. And with the boys, I'm constantly conscious of showing them that, yeah, look what mummy's capable of.
Yeah, and but I bet surely they're proud of you. Like, they know. Like,
oh, they are. They are. They tell everyone, my mummy's got a coffee shop. My mummy's got an ice cream shop. My mummy's this. And especially if I get nominated for awards or anything, or they're just there. They're just...
Oh, well, I've seen on your thing when you sent it over, you've won quite a lot of awards, haven't you? Like... Considering how long you've been open.
All right.
Some class.
Yeah, we got we were a finalist for the Independent Retailer of the Year for Cleveland. And I won the highly recommended accolade for Creative Entrepreneur of the Year in the English Women's Award.
It's amazing.
And then I was a finalist for the Tees Valley Business Women. And then Woman of the Year for BME. I was a finalist for that as well. and a few others actually I've forgotten, but yeah.
That's amazing, just, that really is, especially like when you hear that bit, because obviously like I didn't know that, but not many people will know that, but that shows your strength. Like obviously it's class to be really good at business, and it's amazing when you see people succeed.
Did it more just to prove a point.
Yeah, but when they've done it like through things like that where it's not being so straightforward and you've still got to get your ass out of bed even though you know what's going on.
It was hard. Like, I think getting out of bed was the hardest part, because I was getting letters from bailiffs from left, right and centre. Anywhere I went, bailiffs were showing up, and I was handing over thousands and thousands of pounds in cash that I was making and just handing over.
What, because the debt he'd run up?
Yeah, £130,000.
Wow.
And obviously the bailiffs were understanding when they came. They're just doing the job, you know, and everyone needs the money. He took it, so it has to get paid back. You can't hold it against anyone but him.
Is it done now, though? Is it, like, over with?
Oh, well, I've just had another letter land for £30,000, but...
What, now?
Yeah, even now. But it's a work in progress. I'm getting there.
Oh, dear, love. So is your new husband...
Oh, he's amazing. He's lovely. He's absolutely amazing. He's brilliant with the kids. He's hardworking. And, you know, it's a world of difference. And before, I was just literally the one around. And now I actually feel like a partner.
Yeah, like you've got the support.
I've got the support, yeah.
And he's like, helping.
He never says no either.
Is he what? Sorry.
Like my dad as well. He never says no to me, which I don't think is a good thing. You know? I need someone to say no to me once in a while. Otherwise, I get a bit carried away.
Is he helping grow the business?
He's running a fish and chip shop next door.
Is he? Oh, what is it? Is it new? Is that new?
Captain K. Captain K is on Linthorpe Road.
Yes. Oh, so how's that going? Do you ever have anything to do with that?
Well, I helped design it, get the menu ready, everything.
Did you?
Yeah. I can't help it. But
are you a control freak?
Yeah, I am. I am now, because I refuse to give control to anyone else now.
Yeah, to be fair, I'm not surprised, love.
Everyone around me just takes a mick out of me that you're a control freak. We know how you function, but I don't have time for things to go wrong. So I just do it myself and get it right.
Yeah, but that's understandable, like, Jesus.
Yeah.
Especially when you've, what happened and you had to put it right. It's like, no blame you for being like that.
It was the children. My eldest was 7 and the youngest just turned 4. And the thing is, we lived with his parents as well for 10 years. So that was their home. And to leave that and come to Stockton and not understand why, what's happened. And I've never badmouthed him in front of the kids. So they couldn't understand what's happening. I literally shielded from it. So now the eldest, he's starting to understand a little bit. He's hearing snippets of things here and there. Because it wasn't amicable at all, the way things happened. And it was hard at that time to hold down a job, because I was working in pharmacy at the time, 9 till 5, and running the business at the same time. So I'd staff here. I'd finish 5 o'clock in the pharmacy and come straight to Middlesbrough.
Yeah.
To run that shop and sort the staff out and sort the customers out and whatnot, and at the same time picking up the pieces for the boys.
And does the dad have anything to do with them? Does he? Is he involved?
He sees. They go to stay with him every other weekend. I cut contact with him for 6 months, because I used to send the children here. I said they were quite close to their grandparents, and I said I'm not going to disrupt the children. They can still come here, and they started filling their heads with stuff about me, and I thought, I haven't done anything wrong, why are you being so petty? So I stopped contact. But if you want to see them, go to court. He didn't go to court for 6 months. They didn't see any of them for 6 months. And then, just because he's a narcissist, he sent the application for the court on my birthday. And he's like that. He just loves dramatic flair he has. And then we went to court, and we literally battled left and right, and in the end I called his bluff, because he was trying to be father of the year. And I thought, you've never ever, even when we were together, you were never there for the boys. You never cared. It was your parents picking up the pieces and your brothers.
Yeah.
And, you know, you would literally, on your day off or your spare time, it was TV or bath or out with the mates. You never did anything with the kids. And I, how dare you? You don't even know anything. So we had all of that to deal with. And in the court, then I called his bluff. And the solicitor goes, what do you want? I said, you know what? I don't want no child maintenance. I don't want anything. Tell him 50-50. He can have kids half the time. I'll have them half the time. I've had enough. I knew hand on heart he's going to say no. My dad's kicking me on the table. He's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why are you doing that? I said, he's going to die. He won't say yes. I promise you he'll say yes. Anyway, the solicitor said, are you sure? I said, yeah. They went next door. They said to him, she's offering you 50-50 custody. Like, what more does a real parent want?
Yeah.
You know, 50-50, whatever days you want, I'll do. And he goes, no, that's too much for me. I don't want him that much.
Wow.
So they came back. And I was like, I told you so. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so but that, like, just shows exactly what type of person he is, doesn't it, to them especially?
Yeah, so I was like, do you know what? I'll prove my point. And every other weekend, stay what he wants. It's fine.
And are the boys, like, now, like, obviously, with everything that's happened, do you feel they're settled now? Like, they're like...
Well, they are. The children are quite resilient, and they're sticklers for routine. So we've built up a really good routine for them. And, you know, my mum's door's always open. They're there as well all the time. They're around ours. And every other weekend, they'll go and stay around the dads. And the weeks they don't, it's just 5 hours on a weekend. So it's good like that. And they've settled really, really well.
Well, that's actually one of the questions I normally ask is, like, how do you juggle work, like, and motherhood? But is it, like, do you have support from family? Like,
family? Yeah. But I'm always adamant that I do the school runs myself. Otherwise, I won't see them.
Yeah.
So drop them off to school and then I'll pick them up. And they have Arabic class after school. And now Mondays and Wednesdays, they've got cricket as well. So we'll do all that. And during that time, I'll cook and I'll clean and whatever. And then about 6:30, 7 o'clock, I'll drop them off at my mum's and I'll come back to Middlesbrough in time to close the shop. And then we're back home for about 8:30. And then we have a little bit of a cuddle for half an hour and watch Bake Off or whatever it is they want to do. And then it's bedtime.
Yeah, so you've got a routine that works.
A good routine. And they do understand that mummy works. I don't have to work. I understand that. Financially, I don't have to work. But it's like this much and invest this much time and effort. I can easily do an online job at home. But in the long run, I don't think that's going to be setting a good example for them.
And as well, is that going to make you happy? Like, at some point, where does a mother's happiness come into it? Like, for you to be a good, in my opinion, for you to be the best mother possible, it's for you to be your happiest version. Yeah. So everyone's happiest version looks different. So, you know, some people's happiest version is doing an online job. Others is working the way you work or like I work.
I am a people person.
Yeah. Like, so as long as you're happy, then they'll be happy.
During the lockdown, I had online jobs to do and I was bored out of my mind.
Yeah.
I'm that used to face-to-face contact and just speaking to people and, you know, making the orders, being physically on the go.
Yeah.
I honestly felt disabled during the lockdown. Yeah. I was starting to go into depression and I was like, I need to open the shop back up. We need to get going again.
Did you just do online orders and things then when the shop was closed? Or
no, that was my other business. I've got a weight loss company and I do body shop from home as well. Oh, so right. I just need to keep going and just, I think it's more for mentally busy rather than financially or physically.
Yeah.
I just have something to keep going.
Yeah, some people are just wired like that, aren't they? Like the mind can't switch off and it constantly needs to be occupied and like kept active. Just
brain. You don't give yourself a break. But I know my limits. And I don't want to. Sometimes I work to the point of where I'm about to break. Literally physically, I'm that tired. I can't even walk sometimes because I do all the cooking here myself. And we serve a lot of food and I cook it all. And then I think it's, you know, you work hard, you play hard. And I do have time off and I do enjoy time. We have Sundays off. My partner's off work on Sunday. The kids are with us and we'll just go out. And yesterday we went to Preston Park and then we came to De Mello for ice cream, obviously. And
the kids love it. Do they proper take advantage?
Oh, they do. Well, for milkshakes and ice creams, we've got a big, huge pick and mix wall as well. And the other day I said to them, you know what? Go wild. I'll give you one time. Just fill your bags, whatever you want. Because they were going to go to the dad's. And I was like, I felt a bit guilty. And I was like, you know what? They got like 2 sweets each. I said, what are you doing? Oh no, that's all they want. I was like, if my mum said to me, go wild in a sweet wall, I would go wild.
fudge, lay up a fudge.
I'm back under each arm.
Oh, bless him. Well, I'm going to have to come in and see the shop. I have to bring the kids. What happened with your ex, but what in terms of the last 7 years and getting to the point where you are now, What has been the hardest part for you?
I think the hardest part has been for me finding myself, because I didn't have an identity before then. I think I really got an identity after what happened, like 3 years ago. So many people come in now and say, we used to see you in the shop before, but we never spoke to you. We didn't know who you were. I was just a shadow of myself. I was whatever they needed me to be.
Mm.
In my ex-in-laws and him and whatnot. And I was never the real Nadia. And now, honestly, I'm just bouncing around and I'm doing my thing. And it's a real Nadia. And the confidence. I think the hardest part for me was getting the confidence to be myself. Because I'd become this introverted person that just was happy enough in the shadows. And I couldn't be that with two little kids and a business to run. I had to be the face for a change. And that was probably the hardest. And trying not to give the children any mental health issues at the same time, because they went through a lot. And trying to keep them mentally stable and emotionally stable, and myself when I was broken inside, I think that was the hardest. And really learning how to love myself and allowing someone else to love me again, probably.
And have you got any, like, I'm sure there's many women out there who've been through something similar. Like, how did you do that? Like, what was the biggest factor of learning to love yourself again?
Listening to other people. Because there was the point where I never believed anything. Obviously, my mum used to compliment, oh, you look amazing, you look really nice, you suit this. And my mum says, like, oh, I wish I could speak like you. And even my friends and other family around, they're just like, you're so confident. And so, but that's what they saw, not what I saw. I was just being what I had to be yet again. And just trust yourself. That's my tip, will be just to trust yourself and go for it, because you will find your place. Don't hold yourself back.
Yeah, and it's not always, people don't always find this, like, you always get, like, people see the end product of, oh, well, you're doing it like you now, you're running this company, it's amazing, but people don't see the backstory. And it's like, people have to go through a lot of shit to get to where they are a lot of the time. Some people are just, you know, lucky enough to be given something or work something that goes great, but a lot of the time, people's successes come from a hell of a lot of pain.
Yeah, a lot of pain. I mean, the amount of sleepless nights, working nights as well here, staying when the children are ill, staying awake with them, but in the morning having a full face of makeup and staying happy and, you know, being this jolly customer service self. And it's hard, but you just have to be what you have to be. It is what it is at the end of the day. And the less you think about it, the better. The less pressure you put on yourself. I've learned not to overthink now. If a problem arises, just think of a solution and that's it.
Just think, so what?
Yeah, so what? I just literally use my dad's dialogue now, so what? As long as we're alive, as long as we're healthy, there's a way to deal with things. Everything has a solution.
So in terms of the child, like, what would you love the boys to learn from you? If you could teach them anything, what would the main thing be?
I just want them to grow up to be happy. You know, I don't want them to be doctors or engineers or millionaires, just be happy and confident in themselves. And what they learn from me or their stepdad is the hard work element. I mean, he puts in the graft and the hours, and yet he still spends time and shows love and empathy as I do.
Mm.
And it's just, I want them, the world's a horrible place, but I want them to know that you can still be a good person. You know, you don't have to be a horrible person to fit into a horrible world.
Yeah, there's a lot of dark. There's a lot of dark out there, but it doesn't have to be consumed. Yeah, it doesn't
have to be. And don't judge someone based on man or woman. That's what I'm battling right now with them, especially the youngest, the seven-year-old. Like, he had speech therapy. He couldn't speak till he was four, and now he doesn't stop, and he, like, comes out with all sorts.
Now you're reining it back in.
I'm reining it back in. I'm like, maybe I got you too many speech therapy lessons.
Oh, well, honestly, thank you so much for today. I've really, really, really enjoyed it. And it's nice. Thank you for being so open and honest. I'm sure there's many women out there who'll find some peace in that, because...
Just don't give up. Just do not give up. So you know your own strength, and strength grows as well. No one's born strong. You know, one thing that used to hurt me all the time was people used to say to me, oh my God, you're so strong. You're so strong to do this. I'm not. I just don't show you when I cry.
Yeah, you don't see the unstrung side.
Sure that I'm just like all happy and we've got all the shit together, but you don't see what goes on. Just be kind and be nice. And, you know, and it's not easy. We might make it look easy, but it's not easy. So if you're feeling down, that doesn't mean you're lesser than the other person. It just means you're having a moment. Allow yourself to have the moment and get back on your feet.
Yeah.
That's it.
No, good advice, love. Good advice. Where can people find you and follow you? Like, what's your business's like accounts?
Well, our Facebook account for the business is DeMello Lounge, and the Instagram is that DeMello Girl. No one actually knows my name. I'm just called that DeMello Girl. So that's the Instagram.
Brilliant. Right. Well, thank you so much, love. I really appreciate it. And good luck. I'm going to pop in the shop and see you. I'm going to bring the kids.
Oh, I'd love to meet you.